Have you talked to your computer lately? You know, have you asked Siri deep questions like, do you know what I'm thinking right now, and do you love me?
Now there's a good question. Now, where were we?
Okay, so she's always been a little coy about that sort of stuff. But increasingly, we are talking to our computers and smartphones to find directions, to schedule appointments, even send texts. But there's still a long way from the world depicted in the movie Her, in which Theodore, played by Joaquin Phoenix, falls in love with his operating system, played by the voice of Scarlett Johansson.
So do you know what I'm thinking right now?
Well, I take it from your tone that you're challenging me. Maybe because you're curious how I work? Do you want to know how I work?
Yeah, actually. How do you work?
Well, basically, I have intuition. But what makes me me is my ability to grow through my experiences. So basically, in every moment, I'm evolving, just like you.
Wow. That's really weird.
Yeah, really weird and really science fiction. But how close are we to having software that can really understand us? Boston Globe technology writer Hiawatha Bray talks to us regularly on this program, and he's been writing about this subject. And Hiawatha, always good to have you.
Glad to be back.
So you wrote today in the Globe about the newest speech recognition software from the Burlington-based company Nuance.
Absolutely.
Tell us about this.
We happen to be lucky enough to live in the backyard of Nuance, which is generally considered the world leader in this whole technology. I mean, the Siri technology you find in your iPhone is based on the stuff from Nuance, and Apple basically licensed it from them. But lots of other companies are working on this stuff too. Anyway, they've come out with a new version of their software for desktop computers, and I think it's going to be limited to a very small niche in the market, if only because it costs $200.
Yeah.
It's highly capable, but it's nothing like what you're talking about here in the movie Her or something like that. Because in a movie like that, you're talking about this science fictional idea of a computer that actually understands being said.
So when it comes
like
to
a
Nuance,
conscious entity.
Right, and this is more like a transcription product, right?
Exactly. All these modern things are doing, the ones that we have now, are basically transcribing what we're saying. I mean, like you can tell it, search Google for Radio Boston, and it will do that. But really all it's doing is the equivalent of typing the keys and clicking the mouse. It doesn't really understand what you're doing. You're just using your voice to do what you would normally do with a keyboard and a mouse. The computer has no idea what you're talking about.
Right. So, Hiawatha, how close are we to software that could talk to us, I don't know, conversationally, even anticipate our needs?
I think they're
a long way away.
I don't think they're anywhere near that yet.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, you just had that controversy, a few weeks ago about whether or not a machine had passed the Turing test, whether a computer could be recognized as being a computer versus a human being. And they're still even arguing over whether or not that particular test is a meaningful measurement of intelligent computing. What you've got are computers that have these ever larger bases of data. That's one of the reasons why the whole controversy over big data is such a big issue. If you feed enough information into a computer, it can statistically figure out what you want by listening to the sound of your voice or reading the data that you feed into it. But does it actually understand? Can it generate new information? Can it put it into context? Not really, not in any meaningful sense. No.
So it's not really learning, in other words.
Well, no, it is learning in a sense. I mean, for example, if one of these software programs listens to your voice often enough, it gets good at figuring out your speech patterns and your habits.
I see.
These programs can detect this is what this person is most likely to say in this circumstance. Yes, they can do that. But do they, in any meaningful sense, understand it or think about what you're saying? No, not at all. Not even. But that's okay, because right now what we really need the computer to do is to act as sort of a substitute keyboard. And that's why speech recognition is finally catching on, because we are now using so many mobile devices. And on these things, well, obviously we can't type. We can't use the mouse. We can barely type on our smartphones, but it's really difficult. It's easier to whip it out and push a button. I've gotten to the point where I answer much of my email not on a desktop computer, but on my phone, because on my phone it's easy to push the button and just talk into the phone, and that's how I answer my mail. But it has nothing to do with the computer really understanding what I'm saying.
Sure. So you write that speech recognition software is actually better served for mobile devices. Is that why, like iPhones and Google Glass, I mean, why is that? Is that because they don't have keyboards?
Yeah, exactly. It's because the interface for a small device like that, for the human hand, it just isn't right. It's very difficult to control it in any other way. And so as these things become more and more capable in terms of voice, that's where you're going to see the big improvements. Right now, for example, Intel is working on a chip, which eventually is going to be able to put all of the power for doing that right on the phone. In case you never noticed, when you talk to Siri or Google Now, it's not the phone that's actually doing anything. The phone is simply taking your voice, packaging up a digital file of it, and sending it over the internet to a giant data center, and that's where the processing is done. Then it's sent back to your phone, and you see the words appear on your screen. It happens in a split second. Next generation phones, it'll all happen on the phone, and that'll make it far more powerful and far more efficient. But it still doesn't mean the phone's going to be thinking. Not even close.
Okay, we've got to wait a little bit longer for that. That's Hiawatha Bray, technology writer for the Boston Globe. He talks to us regularly about technology here on Radio Boston. Hiawatha, thank you so much.
Nice to be here. Thanks a lot.
Well, this quick news update from the world of Boston sports, it's happened. He is gone. As anticipated, the Red Sox have traded away their all-star pitching ace, John Lester. Along with outfielder Johnny Gomes, Lester is on his way to Oakland. In return, the Sox received the slugging Cuban outfielder Yoenis Cespedes and a draft pick.
Also traded Andrew Miller to Baltimore and their number two pitcher, John Lackey, to the Cardinals. In return, they picked up first baseman outfielder Alan Craig and pitcher Joe Kelly. Even though a roster shakeup had been anticipated for several days, the loss of Lester in particular is a huge blow to teammates and fans. He was the most successful left-handed pitcher in team history, still very much at the top of his game. He helped the Sox win the World Series last year, and now he has a chance to do the same this season for the Oakland Athletics, who are in first place in the AL West.
Lester will be a free agent after this season and will likely land a huge multi-year deal, something obviously the Sox were unwilling to give him. Without him and Lackey, the last place Sox are now in full rebuilding mode.
Which is another way of saying wait till next season.
Well, coming up after the break, G Love of G Love and Special Sauce joins us live in the studio. He'll perform some songs off his new album, Sugar. Stay with us. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. This is Radio Boston.